All right. Ben. Okay, Chair Whitman.
Here.
Councilman Rossini.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Colicott.
Here.
Mike Felix.
Here.
Wayne Sazel.
Yes.
Richard Murg.
Richard Murg.
Yeah. And Jay Wasserman and Lieutenant Puckett. I think we're...
What about Tom Dodge? Did we hear anything from him?
Tom indicated that he sent a message he would not be here tonight.
Okay.
So I that was like a week ago, I think. He sent it.
Okay. All right. Public comment. Robbie, anything you want to say? All right. So everyone get a chance to take a look at the minutes from our last meeting.
They're on the back page.
So.
They're on the back page of the agenda that I handed out. It should be at the chair. At your seat right there. They're on the back page of that. Just flip it over and there you go.
No, you know what? I think I burned my own from home. So.
Oh, this one.
Yeah, they're right there.
Do you have an extra copy of that one?
There you go.
All right. Perfect. So let's take a few minutes and look it over and see if we've got any questions.
Thank you.
Or changes, we'll bring them up. Sum it up to me. I'll move to approve them.
I have no comments, no corrections.
I'll second.
Looks good. Mm-hmm. So minutes are approved. So let's go ahead and move on to our discussion items then.
Public comment. Let's see. Or I guess we already passed that.
Yep.
This is not an agenda item.
Yeah, it's part of. It is down the row on the bottom. It is part of the. It's a sub. I just handed it out early.
Oh, okay.
That's
the
part of item number. E4E. It's an item that we just wanted. It's a follow up to last LEAC meeting.
Okay, I gotcha.
So I just. That's a copy of it. So.
All right. So. Crime trends surrounding Villa Park report from the City of Orange. I think we did invite someone from the City of Orange.
We did. Can you give us any sort of information you can provide?
Absolutely. In an effort to identify if there were any crime trends from Orange that were going to be encroaching upon Villa Park, we were asked to see if we can liaise with their detectives just to determine if everything was still on course. And one of the things that was indicated was on the northern part of the City of Orange, kind of near the Yorba Linda Placentia border area, that there had been some break in some home burglaries. And the MO was the same for all of them, usually with some type of second floor entry with a rear window or sliding glass door broken, and then a loss of some type. The Sheriff's Department had made some arrests regarding those a few weeks back in the City of Yorba Linda, and we've noticed since those arrests, the crimes have ceased.
Okay.
So they were actually smashing rear sliders, huh?
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty crazy.
Lieutenant Puckett, one of the ongoing crime issues we've had in Villa Park has been burglaries in construction sites.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Are they experiencing the same problem that we are?
You know, I don't know, to be honest. This was not something that came up in conversation with them, because I don't know necessarily if there are many homes in the other areas that are as under construction as Villa Park has. But I think we're going to, when we talk about the monthly crime stats, this is an unusual month where we did see a minor increase in that particular area, and we've outlined some strategies that I won't be at complete liberty to talk about in a public meeting, mm-hmm. but we've outlined some strategies to hopefully combat this.
Okay, well, let's wait for the agenda item then.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Are PSRs covering, doing an inspection of the those properties under construction or renovation?
Yeah, I don't know if you want to wait to get to that, to item H, or I can give you the PSR update now.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on then. We'll go to the Villa Park security, home security fair, just to recap. You know, I'd like to say Wayne and Mary as well, thanks for all your efforts for that. The turnout was amazing. I think a lot of people learned a lot of really good information. You know, I was just curious to see if you had any suggestions or things we might be able to do different going forward that might make it better, things you might have seen that might have, you know, you'd like to do different, that type of thing.
We were very pleased too, and I want to thank the city for the effort, publicity that, and so forth that was done by the city as well as that which we set out, and thank you for those of you who attended. It was helpful, and you had a I know some questions put to you too, so it was a positive event. We had, I don't know how many we had in here, we had all the chairs filled and there were people standing outside, so I gather it was, well, that's how we felt that it was publicized. Primarily older people, as they, particularly single, we find the widows and so forth, they're more prone to fear, which is natural, and they were, the purveyors that came got some business out of it, and they were grateful. They weren't really here to do that. They were instructed not to try to sell, just inform, and so we kind of wheedled it down to what we consider the best security device provider in the area for residential homes as well as commercial. But, and then we had a computer consultant that was up to speed on all the scams and viruses and so forth, and he also sells arranges and plans for security monitoring with cameras, videos, recorders, and that sort of thing. And he has had a couple jobs, he said, coming in. He said it was very positive. Both will come back if we do it again. I gave you a handout on the summary. It's on the back of the flyer, kind of Mary wrote it up so we have stuff. So other than that, I would just say we'd like to repeat it every other year. It's what we think is adequate.
Okay.
You know how a year goes by so quickly, and we rely a lot on word of mouth for people to pass it on and what they got out of it, and hopefully their opinions appear to be as positive as those that you've experienced. So thank you too for all the help. The Sheriff's Department was well represented here, and they were busy most of the evening with questions, and they made a lot of friends.
Yeah, I thought the investigator, who was it from Economic Crimes, that he did a really good job, you know, discussing things.
It was a very positive.
Did a really good job.
And one was here full time, and the other was had to take a call, so he was out. But we were covered all night long, and we actually had to close the doors at 9 o'clock, so because that was when we promised the city we'd have it done.
Right.
So I think it was a fun evening. We enjoyed it, and kind of rewarding to us. We got at least 5 more signups for Neighborhood Watch. I don't know if. The CERT got any sign-ups, wasn't sure on that because I was too busy here.
Right.
And I think you gave an estimate of the crowd. I could not tell. I was just constantly...
it was 65 plus, my count. I mean, it was, like you said, it was standing room only. I mean,
people are standing outside.
Literally, my family couldn't even get in, and I was like, this is okay. This is a good problem to have. I was incredibly impressed by what you put together and what the Sheriff's Department put together. I gave a few words in my less than professional attire.
You did
but,
fine.
But I wanted to come down here and express my gratitude for Mayor Pro Tem Collicott and his efforts and neighborhood watch, and I should have spoken much more about that.
No.
The members of the LEAC who were in attendance and the Sheriff's Department, Steve for helping get things put together. It was a tremendous success for this community. And if we have that type of community involvement, if we have that measure of community involvement at every event, that we are destined for success.
So I think some of the things to look at, lessons learned on this, is how whatever you guys did to get the word out about that,
yep,
it worked. So if we ever have any other thing where we need to get the word out, whatever you did to get the word out, let's replicate that for future informative stuff, events, whatever it is. But however you got the word out, it worked.
Yeah, whether it was email blasts or the sign over here.
The sign was a big help.
Yeah, I think
Steve got that done in very short order.
Yeah.
And the cost on it was $60 or something was all that cost.
No.
I think that brought some. The other thing you should know is that when you have an event, you can post flyers and information on the in the banks. They have a community bulletin board in the banks, and they've got a, you don't even need a stapler. They got little weights you put on them. So that is a good place to do it.
Which banks?
Which banks? Wells and Bank of America. I don't know if we got to Chase.
Right. And the other thing I was going to say, I don't think we want to pigeonhole ourselves, say we're only going to do this on an every other year basis. I think it should be some one of those things where, depending on what's going on in the city, what if crime increases or we see new trends or we see things where we need to get the word out, then I think, you know, hey, if we have to have two or three a year to get the word out, that's what we do. But I think to just to pigeonhole and say we're only going to do one every other year, you know, as long as you and Mary don't mind doing the work, you know, based on the level of crime and what's going on in the city, we can let that kind of dictate how often we're gonna do them. But I think if everything status quo stays the same, man, every other year is probably significant or sufficient. But if it, you know, crime is going up or there's new trends or whatever, we got to get the word out. Then I think, you know, maybe we explore looking
at. Feel free to use this as you see fit.
Okay.
This committee can give direction to us and we'll follow. That's our whole objective, is serving,
right,
the information to these residents. It's amazing how many of them were not only not aware of Neighborhood Watch, but hadn't any idea of some of the things they're doing. One of the biggest problems is on the internet today. I passed out today, one we sent out to the Neighborhood Watch today, the Federal Trade Commission has pointed out a scam that is so obvious, I don't see how anyone can fight it. It's a person named Maureen Olenhausen of the FTC, acting chairman. And she wants information about your bank account, your email address, and so they can head off imposters.
Right, right.
You know, that sort of thing is...
And I think hopefully, you know, from what they learned at the Crime Fair, people are going to send you correspondence by written U.S. mail, not by email, not by phone calls. So
that's
hopefully
true.
People are going to learn from that.
But
so
there is a case involving the FTC and the settlement, but it's not been issued yet.
No, they apparently...
And DOJ is going to issue that. They're going to do the settlement.
They're going after Western Union.
Yeah.
But anyway, you have a copy of it.
I think you sent the email out on that. I think we all...
Oh, yeah. That went out to Neighborhood Watch.
Right, okay.
And I see was some other thing. I guess I passed out that one, so you got it. But thank you for your support. It's a great link up to have this committee. Neighborhood Watch gained a lot of stature, over 100 members, because of the existence of this committee. And Bob, our thanks to you for taking the leadership and getting this committee formed in the first place.
Well, you know, protection, crime prevention is our top priority for all of our city council members. I think we all support that, and the efforts that you and Mary have made, have been above and beyond. I think the function or the workshop that you had in May, I agree with John. It should be at least an annual event. If nothing else, it provides, you know, we have a very safe community here. Chief of Police reassures us that, you know, he'd like to live here too because it's so safe. But I think having these meetings provides a level of reassurance to our residents, particularly those that feel most vulnerable. I'd like to see them at least annual.
Okay, I'll take that back, and we'll see if we can do it. I don't think we have any problem putting together. This is the second one we've done now, and we learned a lot from the first one, and this one fell together thanks to all the cooperation from city. Also, the sheriff's department, the spokesman that gave an excellent presentation for about 15, 20 minutes, and he really set the tone for the whole evening right at the beginning. And I was impressed with not only his overhead scenarios, but the questions that arose afterwards. That we, because they were surprising how many of us are unaware of what is going on with the sheriff's department to prevent. The one area I'd like to see changed a bit is I wish the high school and the junior high would be a little more proactive on what the kids are doing after school. And when they change the hours of the school, parents that are working drop their kids off here at the shopping center or other places, and the kids loiter, frankly, and lay it on the grass and everything out here. And they need an activity. You get 3 15-year-old kids together, and they're going to figure out something to do that they shouldn't. And I don't know, it just seems to me that there should be more after school and before school contribution from the school, the high school and the junior high, because you see it on the blotter, you know, you see the burglary or theft from cars and so forth. I guess that goes with being in high school, but that's an area that I see a little too often. And they've had to trim the blotter, unfortunately.
We're going to move on to that. So. We'll go ahead. Anyone else got anything else about the security fair they want to mention? Okay, so I'm
yes, I do.
Okay.
I was driving through downtown Orange last week and noticed that they're having a national night out on, I think it's August 2nd.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, I know we've been late the past couple of years getting in gear with that. Is that something that's on our agenda to do? Or did it slip? This one slip by us again?
No, it's being planned. The sheriff's crime prevention specialist, I think, has been here. She's currently working with the vendors in the shopping center here, and trying to work out attractions and whatnot. So there is in fact a flyer for it on the counter in our city hall. So it's not till August. So we haven't started pushing it, but
yeah, I wasn't aware that it had passed by. Last I know, we've had it the last 2 years that I can recall.
Okay, yeah, but well, it's, you know,
are
we've always found out about
more of the publicity of it.
Yeah, and you know, are we engaging our neighborhood watch and also the LIAC? And
she's just starting the planning on some of it, so I think a lot of it's in August, and there's some other activities that are going on. So they're trying not to saturate the community.
And let's try, like I said, let's replicate our efforts how we got the word out about. Right. The security fair. Let's do the same thing with National Night Out. See if we can't, you know, get the same turnout or better. You know, hopefully better. So,
I need to ask me for a boat. So
We sent her over your way, and so she's just starting that track down hunting.
It's so funny
she called
because
it.
Lieutenant Alsobrook had mentioned that the boat goes out way too much for events that are not harbor related, and he wants to cut that back. And every time I send a request and I say, look, I know you're trying to cut back on the boat, but here's the request. And every request has come from something meaningful, right? And so I don't think we've made any movement in that area. So we've had it at the Scout-O-Rama, we've had it at, you know, any number of things lately. So
I think one of the things, to be honest, is Wayne was really active in sort of the publicity. And that was sort of a saturation toward the last part of it. If you send things out a month in advance, people don't remember that. So we sent out, I think within the last 2 weeks, we sent out two or three feeders on it.
Yes, you did.
And that had the sign that went up like 2 weeks before. Right at that time, if you send it out way in advance, especially with people going on summer vacation, you'll lose them right now. It's wasted effort. So that's sort of the approach that Wayne and I talked about. And it seemed to work very well. And I think we'd like to replicate that.
With the Women's League and knitting groups and so forth, she uses those venues to pass the word to. I think we can do something on this. It slipped by us August 2nd. I think the canine presentation, a canine demonstration, brings the families out. The kids want to see it. And that's something I think they could do if they would. Jeff's busy there, but I...
Jeff?
Anita's got a lot of ideas. I think the canine...
Demonstration.
There are lots of demonstrations and things. I think she was being very...
And actually, we were just talking about that in terms of bringing out the toys, so to speak.
Yeah, bring
I will tell you the one thing that she's met with some frustration that I'm not sure if this group can help with or not is, for something like this, the Sheriff's Department does not have a budget. So we rely on the vendor, the business owners in the city to help provide refreshments, things like that. And she's not getting a lot of traction with that. So it may be beneficial to provide the group a report of some type to see where we're at, to see if there's anything.
Is that something Rotary could help out with?
I have been active with Rotary this past 6 months.
Okay.
So you'd have to ask. Greg Mills would certainly pick up on it.
I don't, but I can find out.
Please do.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sure they
would. She was a pretty aggressive number, and I sort of had sticker shock when she told me. So I said, we'll help you with soft costs and get things out and get facilities and contacts and communication, but that's, I don't have that kind of money.
We need Bill back.
It was a big number.
You remember Bill, former mayor here, was great about coming up with this, open up the supermarket and bring out all the pop and snacks and stuff we ever needed. In his memory, I give him thanks.
Steve, if you have time, I'm happy to try to work on that number with him.
Well, I think she's, one of the things that we talked about is, and she said, a lot of it isn't so much, it's if the businesses will give things and have things, and that makes it, that helps in their budget. And that's part of the issue, is that, you know, they can't afford to buy a lot of this stuff.
Right.
So it's not so much that, you know, if we can get Ralph's to come forward and do things and those are contacts that you guys have. And I really prefer that the city not contact any of the retailers or start asking for money.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's a poor practice for us to engage.
I agree.
But I said, you know, really the other thing, too, is I don't want to put the city in a position where we're sort of saying, well, we'll pay for this event, but we won't pay for another event,
right?
Because, you know, we have 4th of July supporting that we're trying to support. We have, you know, the Community Services Foundation has events and things. So what I've said is we'll help on communication, we'll help on soft cost facilities. Mike is readily available, helps set up an integral part of some of the setup. It's this, we need some engagement from the retail. So I think the contacts you guys have there, you guys have more than I do, and more than the city, and the city probably should do some of that. So she and I talked about strategies that they're doing, and elsewhere. So she was going to sort of check in with some of her counterparts in other cities and see what they were doing. So she and I have had some conversations. I had some ideas, and she did, and I suggested the Rotary or the Foundation to...
I'm happy to make a phone call or two. Some friends.
And there are block parties, too, that block parties put together that evening also, so...
All right. Well, let's move on. I'm going to turn it over to Lieutenant Puckett for agenda items C and D, which is crime blotter, and then D is monthly crime stats, citations, and traffic collisions. So I guess you can just pony those together and go forward.
The Sheriff's Department, as of, I want to say, approximately 2 weeks ago, changed the way that they're going to administer the crime blotter. And per law, no department needs to have a crime blotter. It's up to the discretion of whoever the sheriff or the chief is. And our sheriff, being pretty proactive, realizes that it's something the communities want to see. The only issue is the way the crime blotter was handled was you would have an employee in each work area that would go through and hand sanitize all of the calls for that area and then post whatever was... not of confidential nature for the public to see. So, for example, for my area of North Patrol, you'd have an employee go through anywhere between 1,200 to 2,000 calls a day, and obviously there's going to be an error rate with that. Well, that error rate resulted in numerous lawsuits over the years from some of the South County cities. Fortunately, none from North Patrol, but I'd be remiss if I didn't say that we had also let out some confidential information from time to time that we probably shouldn't have. So a task force isn't the right word. A committee was put together about 6 months ago to try and find a solution to this. And what the solution was, either we just don't have a blotter anymore, or we find a way to sanitize it through an automated process so some information will still get out, but no human hands are going to touch it. And that's what we're doing now. And that was at the advice of our lawyers, county council, and I believe we started that process last week. Now, obviously, the detriment to that would be probably going to have some impact on the neighborhood watch bulletins.
So far, we haven't had any.
Okay, fingers crossed. And of course, it's a change, and sometimes that doesn't go so well with people that are used to a certain thing, but we haven't gotten any complaints or anything like that, so that's where we stand with that.
The key things for us are not the specific site, but the 100 block in which the event occurred, and number two, the nature of the disturbance or the event, so that we can, if it's a burglary, we need to know that. Construction site, can you do that? Can you just say?
It's completely 100% out of human hands, so whatever is on there has been sanitized through that computer process.
Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on it, and we understand, and we don't want you to get a lawsuit. That just costs us money.
Right.
So when they post on the blotter, and there's that little tab you could have clicked on where it said read.
That's gone now.
So now when the computer sanitizes and cleans it up, will that additional info, or is it just going to be strictly that one line, you know, residential burg, this, and just the address, with no details of the crime at all?
I believe there's some extreme minimal details, but
okay,
Nothing to the point of what it once was.
Hour of the day, that helps too. I guess that's posted though, so usually the call hour is shown on that. I don't know if it's shown on the blotter, but at any rate, that helps, so we know if it's
right.
A nighttime, and if it's in a certain neighborhood, we'll get a pretty good idea what's going on.
And I can see where the problems are. I mean, I used to update that blotter. That was one of my jobs every day when I was working, and it was the responsibility of all the sergeants that worked in there. And I can be honest with you, everyone had their own level of how much they were sanitizing things.
Yeah.
And that's what you run into. And I used to see things done by my fellow peers going, why the heck did they not, you know, delete that before they posted it? So it's definitely an issue, no doubt. You have too many hands in the cookie jar handling things, and everyone does things differently. So it makes sense why that's being done. It really does.
Well, in terms of, you know, as we've discussed, one of the ongoing issues we've had in the city is the burglaries at the at construction sites. Is that something you'll be able to track yourself?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we do. So the blotter won't affect that.
Okay.
So
we have neighborhood watch captains pretty well through the city. So when an event occurs, if we wanted more information, we usually can find it. But then we sanitize too, because we don't want to start a gossip about whose house it was or a family
sure.
member. None of that.
Sure.
We just want the event. And frankly, our job has been just to post what's on the blotter. And if we get a call, then we might make an inquiry to one-on-one. But
right.
We're very determined not to overstep the same limits that you would have to bear. We don't want a lawsuit either.
Right. Okay. Moving on to next item.
Crime stats, yeah.
Okay. I don't believe for the last meeting that we talked about April, so we're presenting April and May this time, if I'm serving correctly.
Right, I think the reason that's why we're pushing our June meeting,
right.
Our meetings late, so we could get 2 months of
right.
crack stuff in
right.
there.
Right.
So, like I said, we did see an uptick for the month of May. Now, typically, if memory serves correct, your crime stats for any given month are anywhere between 3 to 7, rough estimate. For May, we got up to 13. And that was striking because for April we only had 3. So I can't give you an explanation as to why that was, but it's something we'll certainly be analyzing. Typically when the weather does get a little bit warmer, you will see an uptick in crime. This is something that we usually do expect to see in the summer months. However, now that I've said that, I can tell you I've already looked into June, and June is significantly way down. So we're on track, I think, for 2 crimes so far in June. So I can't explain why May was up, but here's what we had. So you had 3 part 1 crimes for April. You had a petty theft where a package was taken from the front of a house. You had a residential burglary where a rock was thrown through a back window. And then you also had a grand theft where two saddles were taken from a stable. And that was it. Let's talk about May real quick. For May, we had 5 residential burglaries. One where a suspect entered through an unlocked side garage door. Loss was jewelry. And then the rest were all construction related. You had one home was under construction, secured with a chain link fence and a bike lock. Chain was cut. 2 drills were taken. Another one where a suspect opened a rear window and removed some tools, miscellaneous. Another one where a suspect walked through a doorway in an unsecured home, which was under construction, and took some tools. And the last one where a suspect, looks like the garage door was left open and they went inside and took some tools. We had one vehicle burglary where a window was smashed and lost was a wallet and a jacket. Then we had 4 petty thefts, and a lot of them appeared to be related to the high school. One where a vending machine was broken into and some candy bars were taken. One where a vehicle left their car unlocked overnight and numerous things were taken from inside. Another one at the high school where a cell phone was taken from the nurse's office. And another one at the high school where a musical instrument was taken from a cabinet. We had a theft, a grand theft, on the 9,000 block of Henderson, where at the time of this report, there was no information about motive or MO or loss. We had a camera and a phone charger taken again from the high school, and then we had a lawnmower and a weed trimmer taken from the back of a work truck. Now, with all of these, I would say if we remove the ones from the high school, the main things we would be looking at would be the construction site issues. And 4, again, is not off the charts, but a little concerning considering we really didn't have any the month before, and I think we haven't had any in June. But I'm hesitant to tell you the exact strategy we're going to put into play in an open meeting, because obviously I don't want to compromise any police operations we have ongoing, but we've discussed 2 different strategies that the city has not done before, and we're going to put them into play over the next few weeks to see if that helps us to mitigate this issue at all. Now, with that, if I can, one of the things that we talked about, and I'm not sure if this is best left for item I for crime prevention and traffic safety, but one of the things that the LEAC committee discussed was the Sheriff's Department using PSRs to put together some crime prevention flyers to bolster an already existing effort, which is fine. The way I look at this, it's a 2-pronged approach to combat this. One would be an aggressive policing strategy, which I will not talk about in an open meeting. And the second one would be more of a passive policing strategy, which is the continuation of education. So for the group, I'll start here and I'll just pass the flyers around. This is what we had initially talked about, having the PSRs pepper the area with, put on cars, put in construction sites. Maybe we can even employ Neighborhood Watch to help us with that. But I would ask that the group take a look at these, and if this is something that everyone agrees with, we can move forward. And I have very thick skin and deal well with criticism, so if the group likes to see something different, we can work with that as well, too. But take your time and feel free to make whatever marks or changes you feel are necessary. And that is it for the monthly crime report.
Okay, well, one more question.
Wait.
I'm sorry to interrupt here.
Sure.
I've noticed that many of our construction projects lag, and they sit dormant for a week or more. I don't know whether people are paying it as their paychecks come in and can't afford to do more.
Right.
But the timing of completion should be enforced, I think, more heavily. And that's more or less a city responsibility. I mean, we've got projects that have been going on for over a year, and they invite theft by being no one there. And they think it's almost vacated for weeks at a time. And I would urge that continuous progress should be expected by when somebody starts a job, they should be moving ahead with it so it doesn't go 16, 18 months, some of them. That's a headache for you and for our community.
I guess the only concern I would have, the only recourse we have is to pull their building permit. All right, and then it's got bigger problems because they got to reapply. It's going to slow the project down further. So I think what we try and do is work with the contractors. Many of them are on a cash basis, and there are design issues or cash flow issues with owners and things. So I know in some instances projects are taking a long time, and we're on them. I mean, I know that our building guy is out with them pretty regularly checking in. We provide a list to you guys, and so you guys follow up on it. But again, one of the concerns I would have is not put us in a position where the situation gets worse by the city taking action. And you could do that if we start saying, well, we're pulling your permit. Okay, the permit gets pulled. For instance, we did have that one where we pulled it, and the guy was delayed another 2 weeks because the contractor had another job going. So by the time he got down, we had a two-week delay where we probably could have had something done, you know, if it we hadn't. So we got to be careful that we're not working against ourselves, trying to work for ourselves. So I don't mean to be, you know, I just, it's sort of a delicate balance. We issue a building permit, and we don't say, you know, we don't say that you've got to complete that project within a week or two. Sometimes it's longer or whatever. And if they experience, sometimes they're going to experience issues where they don't meet code. So if our building inspector goes out, I don't care if they finish it. We're not going to let them finish it. So if they finish it, we got problems because they got to tear it down. We got other issues. So they got to do it right. They got to do it expeditiously. But as Councilman Rossini knows, some of these things start taking, when you start digging, you realize there's other things you found, like, oh my God, or design changes, or things that we don't see. So when you drive by, you don't see them, but when you're in the project, you know it. So I just want to caution that sometimes it doesn't look like there's city action, but there really is. We really are checking with these people. We're providing active lists to this. CDC gets a list every month of those. And I know Bill is out there on top of these projects. But, you know, contractors sometimes have very good reasons not to move.
We are aware. It's a valid point.
Yeah.
We are aware, Mayor Pro Tem and I, of these projects, as well as Steve and Bill. And it is something that obviously I think that lends itself to the potential for obviously opportunities for thieves. But as Steve mentioned, it's difficult to time a project, especially the kind of projects that, in my estimation, we're seeing in Villa Park. They're huge. They're large. This isn't necessarily a bathroom. This is a half a house being torn down, or in some crazy people's case, an entire house being, speaking from example, from experience, mm-hmm. being torn down and rebuilt almost. And then, just on a personal note, I mean, sometimes you try to order windows and it's a 9 week delay, and that's something that mm-hmm. I personally have dealt with. So. But it's a great point. It is something right. that we do have an active roster of homes that have been going on for quite a long time, and we do stay on top of it. But I appreciate your comment, and I think it's a good one.
I would think that the insurance company of the people whose home it is would have a concern if they have open construction from a liability perspective, that they might, if they were notified, might want to impose certain requirements, maybe pick up a supplemental policy during construction to help cover tools and things like that, and whatever.
From my experience, and this is just my experience, it wasn't that case, because I thought exactly the way that you're, and we're insured by Liberty Mutual, big, large, reputable company, couldn't care less. They just wanted to be notified, and they wanted to have an idea of, you know, size and dimensions and value, but just general information. We thought that maybe they need to have an additional policy considering the vulnerability a home might be to weather or theft. They didn't put up too much of a
fight. They still cover the loss. Yeah,
right. Yeah. So maybe Farmers or State Farm or Mercury or AAA or whoever insures homes out here may have a different approach, but that was my experience. But that's a great point too, because I thought the same thing. I was like, but eh, I guess they just absorb it.
If our building inspectors, our building inspector goes out and he feels the job is lagging and that there hasn't been any activity on it, he drives it. Isn't that big a deal to make a loop route?
He contacts them.
But the recourse is pulling the permit.
Right. Have them send the permit holder a note saying we'd like you to meet with the city manager or whomever or the building and see what's your plans on the progress here. We see that things aren't happening.
Typically, building permits expire after a certain time
right.
if they haven't moved.
Yes.
Yeah, and they got, and then basically that's another way for the city to collect fees on it too, because they got to go in and reapply. They collect new fees and everything.
And
else.
Or we'll terminate. We'll say stop. We'll issue right. stop work orders if
right.
progress
Absolutely.
Isn't made.
Right.
And that kind of thing. So we are meeting with them. It's a very good. It's it's an interactive discussion, because if you got a 9-week delay, do we hold the resident hostage because they got a 9-week delay in ordering windows?
Right. As long as they can justify it.
Yeah, it's a ongoing. So we don't see those things, and when you drive by, you don't see them. But I know Bill has just a list every morning of calls he's making of these guys.
Yeah, I'll leave alone at that.
Also, Lieutenant Puckett, it seems like a good proportion of these construction site burglaries appear to be inside jobs. Yeah, and I know there was at least one across the street from me where, you know, the flooring arrived and mysteriously in the middle of the night,
disappeared.
You know, all the wood flooring for the whole house disappeared.
Well, we had we discussed that last meeting, and what's interesting is, I agree with you, but we're gonna approach from the sheriff's department side of the house the possibility that maybe our theory on that is incorrect. We're just gonna try every angle we can, so to speak. A lot of times in law enforcement, we'll do that, and we'll consider it as a what we call a rule out. So, for example, if a murder happens and we know for a fact Wayne was not the suspect, but we would still interview him to show he had an alibi and everything else, we can rule him out for the case. So some of the strategies that we're going to attempt to do would be to rule out the possibility of outsiders coming in as opposed to just random targets, so to speak, and then maybe that can allow us to focus in our efforts a little bit more. If that makes sense.
I think they're reaching into their proverbial tool bag and utilizing tools, professional tools that most of us are aware of, but obviously for appropriate reasons would discuss in an open meeting, are going to be dealing with that. And I think that the Sheriff's Department has done a fantastic job in representing the city and protecting the city, and I'm very grateful for their efforts, especially considering how low our crime is. And I'm appreciative of that. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on here. business license application flyer.
We had it listed as business license, but it should have been building permits that we discussed. And
as far as giving the
these are the flyer. This is the flyer we give out. You all have a copy of it. This is recommended. The wording is recommended from the state contractors license board, et cetera, various entries. But it talks very much about just what you said, just in time delivery, securing tools. And this is given when people get their building permits from us. So all the contractors receive this in hand. What they do about it is a whole other issue, and that's where the follow up by the sheriff's got to be. But we're trying to educate them as much as we can on that. So you have a copy of that.
Just right. This, the wording of this looks very similar to the other flyer that we've got.
It's candidly, it's lifted from
right. Okay.
Other entities besides us.
Right.
So, but that's just what we issue. Even if they hear the same message five times,
So this will be given to the contractor.
It is currently given to them.
Okay,
when they issue a building permit, when they hand it to them, they also get the paperwork.
Right. Okay.
Now what they do with it may go in the trash when they walk out the door, but we're trying to alert them. So.
Any questions on that? All right. F CERT program, I guess.
Tom contacted me. I've reached out to him, and he'll be giving an update both here and to the city council.
Okay.
And then he just couldn't. He had a conflict tonight.
Okay.
So he apologized. And by the way, he is an official member of this board, of this committee now, by action of the city council. So. He apologizes for not being here, but he knows he will be giving an update.
So he's going to be giving an update during open session at City Council?
At some point, yeah. When he is scheduled, we're working that out, but also here, so we've asked.
If I may just touch on that real quick, unless I'm mistaken, he attended a train-the-trainer course.
Yes, he did.
For the CERT program.
Paid for by the city.
For by the city, and the CERT program will likely see some significant and changes and new perhaps participation, and we're finally getting that step in the process taken care of. And it took a long time, and frankly, and in my opinion, had nothing to do with Tom Dodge or Pete Moriarty or Wayne Solzell. There were some obstacles, I think, at the city level that stood in the way of that. And I just wanted to personally thank all members of CERT, past and present and future, and Neighborhood Watch and Tom for being part of that and keeping it going.
All right. G Neighborhood Watch Program. I know, Wayne, you touched on a few things. Was there anything else you wanted to add about Neighborhood Watch on that?
No, I have. I think I've said everything I needed.
Okay.
Well, how many block captains do you have now? You must be even close to 200.
We're at 200.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's 200 block 190, captains. Something like that.
So that's like 10% of the residences in Villa Park have are a block captain.
Yes, pretty well dispersed, too.
That's impressive.
You know, we call them block captains by the book.
Yeah.
But they're more or less informants and people that aren't doing a whole lot. Some of them do a lot. Some of them have gatherings in their home of their neighbors. Others just more or less are a go-to person if somebody has a question. But they all are serious about doing their part. We send them a list of things they could do. We recommend they do. But the list is pretty lengthy and have email. The means of the people they call on or they concentrate on are those that are elderly and don't have email and are generally pretty inactive. And they want to be sure that people check up on them so they're okay. Mm-hmm. We have a couple in our neighborhood had a looked like a paramedic truck at 2 o'clock in the morning, and Mary somehow saw the red light through the bedroom window and went out and checked on it. Then we called them to find out if they were okay. It wasn't a problem. I think the truck had stopped looking for a street number or something. I don't know. At any rate, a lot of that. But that sort of thing is what we try to do. Mainly just being a good neighbor. Being a good neighbor encompasses a lot more than just looking out for crime.
Okay, so update on the PSR program. Jay, do you have anything you would like to add on that?
I know that Mike Lee has been busy, and I think the lieutenant has probably a better update than I do.
Yeah, thank you. So to recap where we were at in the last meeting, Mike Lee was an assistant principal at Villa Park High School, and a sergeant with our reserve division is the supervisor that we put in place for the PSR program. And I'll be happy to say that the PSR program is now up and running for what we wanted it to do. Now, specifically, what we've asked Mike to do was conduct in-house training with the existing PSRs, which now number at 6, to provide the level of service and the expectations that we want to see from the city level, which basically consists of checking out the white units to conduct both vacation checks, construction site checks, and then what we would call duties as assigned. Now, I'm paraphrasing a little bit because there's an actual memorandum that we've written to generate and outline those duties. But where we stand is Mike has put together single-handedly and accomplished the training of all those assets. They've received training in the duties and responsibilities and communications needed to conduct all of those checks within the city. And they've actually started signing up and started going out the end of May. So awesome. If you go in there and look at the list, they're checking out the vehicles and doing what we're asking them to do. Now,
could I, real quick,
yes, sir.
I got 2 phone call complaints about those cars speeding.
Fantastic.
Like going 50 down center. So could we just, when you train them, just remind them that they do need to hear to. They're not called on, they're not first responders on that stuff. So that was from people with kids that were worried about.
And I would ask this as a personal favor. When the complaints do come in like that, and unfortunately they will because they're new and learning, if you could directly email them to me because if they're a representative from the Sheriff's Department,
I wouldn't have wanted you. They were verbal calls, and you wouldn't want to hurt the,
right.
the language. They were pretty upset. So I just passed that along. Just sure. reminders that I said it's, look, they're doing their job. And
well, when are you going to try out the horsepower? I mean,
I don't think it's anything that
it's an
needs to
right
now. No, it's just a reminder, and thank you, because it's...
Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds great. I mean, I don't know if everyone had a chance to review those flyers. Me, personally, I think they look great. I mean, the sooner we can get them out, the better. I mean, and start flooding the neighborhood. And I know you mentioned that's one of the items that you have on tap for the PSRs to use. So
if you scan that and send it, we'll attach it to an email list to our...
We can send it out on the feeder too, so all everybody, so we can get that out. And we can blast that out whenever, as often as you want.
We can definitely do all of that. And then with the PSR program, what I envision happening is it will just be now a living program of continual maintenance of where we're at. As the council changes and the crime trends change, we'll come back and address if we need them to do something different, realizing that their scope of operational readiness is pretty limited. But we'll continue to modify and we'll continue to push and get them out there, hopefully obeying all the speed laws, but one step at a time. So that's where we're at with that.
We're glad the cars are being used.
We're glad the cars are being used.
Mike's been washing them and keeping them polished and ready to roll. So.
You know, I got to tell you, on a side note, I think this city is pretty fortunate to have guys like this gentleman sitting next to me and Mike Lee, who both donated awful lot of their own free time, both with the reserve program through committees like this to represent the Sheriff's Department for nothing more than the benefit of the city and the citizens who live there. Because I can tell you right now, this program would not be off the ground if it wasn't for this gentleman and for Mike Lee. So we can thank you for your efforts.
Agree. Thank you.
Yeah, tremendous amount of work. Thank you, Jay.
You're welcome.
Great job. Okay, last item, crime prevention and traffic safety.
If I can throw something out with that to start. We've talked about a host of issues here today, but I'm going to talk about something that we have not talked about before. I had the pleasure of sitting down with some of the people at Villa Park High School late last week, including our sheriff's school resource officer, and again, Mike Lee. And one of the concerns that they have is, in today's day and age, what we would consider to be a mass casualty incident, like an active shooter in schools, is about the worst thing that you can think of. And there are some things, particularly with that school, they feel that they're maybe a little bit behind the power curve in. So we're going to take a few proactive measures to help firm things up over there. One would be a tabletop exercise where we're going to bring in, I think in 2 weeks, some different sheriff's department resources to just verbally talk about if this were to happen, what would we expect to see and how would we handle it. The second thing that we're going to do is Dana Point High School adopted a model maybe 7 or 8 years ago where they had an Eagle Scout come in, and as part of his Eagle Scout project, painted numbers on the top of each school building and on the sides of the school building. And the thought process behind it is, if 100 cops had to come to the school, and I can tell you from personal experience, it can be confusing because we don't know the buildings, we don't know specific layouts, we don't know directions. And so if you have a helicopter up ahead, they can look and say building number 6 is where the police need to be, and we can look at the side of the building and see number 6, and it allows for a quicker, safer response. So we're going to see if the high school will provide the paint, and the sheriff's department will provide the labor to get something like that done. We'll obviously keep this group informed, and if the time comes, we may ask for some volunteers from this group to assist us in that endeavor, because at the end of the day, it's our belief that's going to help to keep kids alive should things go drastically wrong.
Are they going to be doing some construction over there soon?
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that.
Science lab of some sort.
$45 million plus, maybe all the way up to whatever their allotment is, $72 million.
Which was actually, not to segue off of that topic, but a conversation that we had with the school as well, because I can see some severe traffic impacts around that area of the school that we're going to have to come up working with the school with some type of traffic plan to help minimize that congestion, because it's going to be rough.
Is that because of the construction or because of the future layout of the campus?
Well, at this point, I would say a little of both. I don't think they necessarily have it planned out, but the most concerning point right off the bat is the drop bus-off area is going to be non-existent during the construction. So the drop bus-off area is the street. So I can tell you they have not worked out their plan yet, so hopefully they've got something a little bit better than that, and we're going to definitely be working with them on that, but it's an area of concern at this point.
Pardon us? Got locked in our other room.
And this discussion took place at which meeting, sir?
Just an informal meeting, me walking through the park high school.
Okay.
Talking about issues, trying to. It was not. It was just going through and looking around and trying to forecast anything to make like the city. And lo and behold, we found something.
Thank you very much for all your efforts in that regard. We appreciate bringing that to our attention.
You know, the one thing I've been hearing a lot of stuff about recent crime trends is window smash commercial burglaries to a lot of like small restaurants. I know I've heard you know, in my other job hearing things down in South Orange County. I have a brother and sister-in-law that own a couple Wawa grills out in Murrieta. You got a crew of about three or four guys, window smash, they go right into the back office and they steal the safe. And the one lesson my brother and sister-in-law learned was to frequent bank drops, get the cash out of there and put the cash away at all the night. I don't know if we're informing any of our businesses of that here, that seems like it's a growing crime trend to make sure that they're routinely doing a lot of bank drops, not keeping a lot of cash on hand. I'm sure you've heard of that crime trend going on, but that's something I've been hearing has been going on down here. And they don't care if it's alarmed either. They're going in, they're able to do it. I've been hearing floor safes, they come in with a battery-powered jackhammer it out, and they've worked out ways of getting the floor safes out quick and taken off. So I think, you know, the lesson to be learned here is we may not be able to eliminate it happening, but at least if they can minimize the loss of it, if they do go on and they're successful getting or taking the safe, they're not going to get anything from it. So I don't know if we're getting that word out or not, or if we can. Comments?
I've heard of some of those types of things happening in the South County area, and typically it was around businesses that were close to the freeway. The MO you're describing, though, I've heard more predominantly toward residential homes in this area. As a matter of fact, we talked about last meeting where the city of Yorba Linda had experienced something where you had, you know, three or four people in a car that run into the house, grab whatever they nailed down, and run back out. But if the committee sees something, this might be something better suited for neighborhood watch to get it out to approach the businesses. Because in terms of crime trends for this area, we've been a little bit more immune to it, at least in Villa Park. But of course, I'll go with whatever direction the council wants.
And you know, I look at this as being fair, close enough to the freeway. I mean, you hop straight down San Diego, and you're on the 55. So, said I've been hearing a lot of it going on, and you know, and like I said, what brought it up to me is, you know, my brother and sister-in-law getting two of theirs getting hit all within the same week. You know, I know talking down in Laguna Hills where I work, they've had probably two or three within the last few months. I know the whole Southland, and I've even seen some stuff on some of the news and reading the Register where they got the little video clips where you can, and they're brazen. They go right into the doors, right into the back office, and go straight for the safe. And I don't care if the business is alarmed. So,
do we have a commercial, you know, neighborhood watch for like the town center?
Residential only.
Really?
Merchants Association is the place to start with that.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing, too, that we have, it's unique here, the sheriff's substation is in our retail center.
Right.
Here.
Yeah.
That's one of the things we're going to be doing is we're posting signs that say sheriff's department right out front. So mm-hmm. You got to be really brazen to go in. And this is a 24-hour, if you come here at all hours of the night, there are, you know, black and whites rolling in and out
right.
Pretty regularly. So, and we encourage the North Patrol guys to stop here and eat, do whatever they need to keep the cars rolling through. They're black, you know.
Well,
black
typically,
and white,
what so you're going to get though is if they're casing, they're going to see that stuff, and then a lot of times what they do is they make a phantom phone call on the other end of the city.
Yeah, true.
And then of course, as soon as they see the one unit that Villa Park has, probably they go to the other end of the city, and then boom, they.
Well, I will say that we have, and I don't mean to get Jeff's people in trouble. We have lots of Jeff's people stop by, even though they're not assigned here. Because it's quiet times, and the Yorba Linda staff come down here, they can eat down here. So
yeah.
I've encouraged them to come
absolutely.
By here
yeah.
and come in and sit down, and you know, it doesn't bother me. I don't mean to get them in trouble, Lieutenant. But they do it.
I'm sure they're actually sharing.
They're not watching TV
trends,
or
traffic
sure.
trends, training tips,
yeah.
and
yeah.
and information when they've assisted others with reports, and sure,
yeah. That's what they're doing.
That's good.
They're not watching TV.
No.
if I can just
yes, sir.
To get back to you, on that project with Villa Park High School, I think that's fantastic. I think the Law Enforcement Advisory Committee should really work with you in every sense of the word to help you out with that.
Yes,
whatever we can do. I would think that John, as our chair, would be in full agreement with that, and everybody at this table. And you know, whether our kids go to public schools or private schools, whether our kids, whether we were for bonds or against bonds, whether we're actively involved in the high school, pay their kids, and they're wonderful people that teach our kids that work and go there. So whatever we can do, and I'll pick a paintbrush myself.
Are you aware whether the school district's been approached with doing that? Because it seems like sometimes they're a little hesitant to allow things done to their schools.
Well, this is still on the talking.
Okay. Yeah, all right, because so I would imagine before anything's done, the school district's going to have to say, yeah, you guys can do that.
I imagine you're probably right.
And I wouldn't hold my breath there. So.
Do you think the school district would allow like an active shooter drill, like a
real-time deal? I think it would probably be in their best interest given this day and age. Mm-hmm. Whether the PR people at the school district will want to do that, who knows? But that's kind of this gentleman's world, and we'll support them in every way, I think, as elected officials that we can, and I think this committee as a committee. So,
I mean, summer's a good time to do something like that, right? At least a walkthrough, you know, and then do a...
You know, we have the great shakeout, so...
Yeah, it's true.
Lieutenant, have you spoken to Rotary and given them a program that every week they're looking for speakers? And I would think I know that the Rotary has a very strong influence on the schools because they give out scholarships to the teachers or awards for outstanding service. And I was part of putting some bookshelves together for one of the schools, and we also replaced tabletops at the Cerro Villa. And if we wanted to paint numbers on the buildings, I'm sure they put a work crew together and do it.
Well, I tell you, I have not spoken with the Rotary about it. That's actually a good idea. And if they're always looking for speakers, I'd be more than happy to come and speak on any topic.
Okay.
If you'd like me to, anyway, I'll just throw that out.
I'll ask Greg Mills to contact you and link you up. Greg is in charge of programs, and he's former mayor of Omar.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Did he just leave? I didn't see him go out. That was a board meeting for Rotary that was just went out the door. So.
Got it.
Okay, anything else?
Nailed it.
All right, so let's talk about next meeting in August. It's down here on August 14th. I'll be out of town on August 14th. Does the 21st work for everyone, maybe?
It's up to you.
I would be not able to attend, but I'd be open on the 22nd.
22nd, okay.
I can do the 22nd.
Anyone else got a conflict with the 22nd?
Is that at which night of the week is it?
Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
So far I'm open.
Is that we need to look at the city calendar before I can.
Oh, that might be the last, that might be the city council.
The third
second to last Tuesday.
But it might, I don't know what might be on that. Okay. I just, because I
didn't. All right, let's leave it open.
Yeah, that is the fourth Tuesday.
So we would have the city council meeting that
night.
Yeah, so that sounds like the city council.
24th, Thursday.
I do 24th.
I can't do the 24th. I'll be driving my daughter to college.
Take priority.
Yeah, jeez.
Not like it's a big moment.
Yeah, I know.
Back up in the middle of the month.
29th?
Is that which day of the week?
28th or 29th of August?
I'll be Tuesday out work. The 29th.
Hmm?
I'll be gone the 29th.
What about the 28th?
No. Same time, I'm gonna go shoot some, get ready to shoot dove in Arizona.
Ah,
30th?
Coyotes.
30th is Wednesday. That'd be the Community Service Foundation meets in here.
Can we use the water district property? We have used them before.
It's up to you guys. It's up to whatever you want to do.
Let's put down the 30th, and then maybe Steve, you can check the water district
and
see if we
I'll
can
see.
Use their.
I'll get back to everybody.
30th.
Okay.
I'll check real quick tomorrow. Okay. Same time, 6:30?
Yes, yeah. Sir.
Okay, and with that, we'll adjourn.
Okay.
Okay, good meeting.
Thank you, everybody.